This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics. Politics.
Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week, hashtag Politics. Sadly, our last episode for the year, but we'll be back fresh, strong, rebotsa botsang in the new year. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you, brother Fresh, and good morning, morning to the followers and the viewers and subscribers and everybody else.
Yes, sir.
I don't feel sad, actually. You know, people go and leave. I'm exhausted, and I hope the viewers are also exhausted with politics. They need something different.
They're not. Politics don't sleep, just like money doesn't sleep, just like your problems don't sleep.
Yeah,
I know. For a lot of people, this is actually an escape from their problems. So actually creating a problem on top of their problems.
We'll come back January, we'll be having more problems.
Absolutely. Speaking of problems, let's start at the EFF elective conference that happened this past weekend and the MK party celebrating 1 year of existence.
Yes, yes.
I don't know where you want to start.
Well, it's simple, Fresh. What is it? The EFF third elective conference. You know, for me, it was a walk in the park.
Sure.
And almost everything went what would people call Julius Malema slate.
But is there another slate? Is another slate allowed?
Look. If anybody else had tried to come with another slate or an alternative to what the commander in chief of the Economic Freedom Fighters preferred,
sure,
they were squashed before even the elective conference. But also, people expected to see people within the EFF rebelling.
Sure.
You know, standing up and rising and saying to Julius and his preferred people, you can't treat us like little kindergarten kids. You know, there's a democratic process. And when you looked at that conference, I didn't watch the whole of it, but when you look at it, the voting system, they do it so openly,
sure,
that even if you wanted to elect somebody alternatively, you wouldn't be able to do it because you'd be scared and embarrassed. But look, in my observation, there's a rule, you know, by fear there. There's people fearing to come out, except one little lady from Witbank who stood up and nominated herself. Something very critical she said. She said over 80% of the delegates, voting delegates, because it's not everybody who could vote who goes there, who were in there were women. And therefore, as a woman, she raises her hand to stand for deputy president of the EFF.
Sure.
And let me tell you, she didn't even get more than 20 votes. You understand? So it shows that people came there prepared, knowing they carried the mandate of whether it was an instruction from the top or whether it was a mandate for the from the branches. But everything was a walk in the park. Everything was smooth sailing. They focus on their manifesto, you know, and how to rebuild the organization towards 2026. And what was a little bit distasteful is Julius's response to
when asked about Mbuyiseni
Ndlozi, the media, and asked about Mbuyiseni Ndlozi. On one hand,
for those that missed it, what did he say?
Okay, first of all, the media were asking, where is Dr. Ndlozi? Was he invited to the elective conference?
Or was he banned as per the rumors?
Yes, as per one fresh, you see, rumors and false media reports are creating a problem in the society because nobody ever went, me and you, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. Is there any circular or letter or notice from the EFF that Ndlozi is banned or suspended? And there was nothing. And that's why we never entertained it. But the second part is when he was asked, where's Ndlozi, the question also that Julius irked him actually was, we're having an electric conference here. I've just talked for 3 hours and 40 minutes to be exact. And you don't even want to ask me about the content of what I was reporting on. You want to ask me about an individual in the party. So, you see, there's the challenge that he still treats him like just another individual in the party. In political organizations, yes, in especially the so-called socialist parties and lefties, we are all equal. But we know that's not true. We are not equal because we've got the central command team. Mbuyiseni has been not only the voice, singing voice of EFF. He was at some stage. He was at some stage the spokesperson of the organization. So you can't
And he was also the bay of the organization.
He was also the bay.
I'm certain there are some chicks that love the EFF because of him.
Because of him, yes. And he can sing, you know.
Comrade Bay.
So you can't just dismiss that person. But again, you know, being fair, why would we focus the whole conference of an organization in one person?
On the absence of one person.
Of one person,
but yes. Juju said Ndlozi is driven by ego. What are your thoughts on that?
You see, that was what I termed the unfortunate part, that why did he have to attack him? When did he pick up that Ndlozi is driven by ego? What did Ndlozi do that we don't know, and members of the EFF do not know what ego, when the man has actually humbled himself, even if you look at his social media posts.
In fact, he posted on X, congratulations to the newly elected leadership. We wish them strength and wisdom. Remember the duty to always conduct yourselves honestly and honorably in dealing with the EFF and the broader public.
I think that was a very mature statement. Mm. And he has been silent. He comes out, he writes one statement to congratulate those who have taken the leadership of the organization. That's very professional. That's very honorable. And I respect him more for that. But you know, Julius, if I was his advisor, he should put his energies on positive things that will build the organization.
Sure.
To rant and to start calling people that they've got egos, that they are non-starters, and that they are dishonest, and they've got shenanigans happening. No, man, that's very negative.
So why not expel them then?
If they have done something wrong, expel them like he has done with other people.
Sure.
Charge them and expel them. But if there's nothing, don't add fuel into speculations. And because he has been speculating more than anybody else.
Do you think he's perhaps taking this posture is almost a dare to Ndlozi to see what you're going to do? Our paga mana.
Are you going to jump him?
Ship? Are you going to speak? Because clearly, whatever the reasons he says, is why Ndlozi was not at the elective conference. Obviously those reasons still stand.
But
maybe he's saying, I'm not going to pull the trigger, you must jump.
What if Ndlozi never had plans to jump? If he wanted to jump, I think he's being pushed. I think he doesn't trust him. Let me tell you, I think what is happening, Julius doesn't trust Ndlozi's position, especially that he has been in the central command team of the EFF. He knows quite a lot, and whether we like it or not, he's got support and following of the members of the EFF. He will pull out. People in politics tend to follow certain leaders.
Sure.
The EFF itself is where it is because of the love that the people had for Julius Malema, mainly despite policies.
Now, based on Mbuyiseni Ndlozi's political ascent and where we are right now, does he have a future in the EFF, or is he wasting his time?
I after all that has happened, and based on the events of last weekend, I don't think he's got a future in EFF. I don't think so. For as long as Julius is there, and for as long as Julius has convinced other members of the EFF, leaders of the EFF, that this is a rotten potato that must never come back into the bag. You understand? So it's for him to jump. He doesn't have a future. Unless he's good, he decides to keep his membership and not renew it and not contest any position. Ndlozi has a doctorate. He's an academic. He's a very smart young man. And I've said before, if I was him, I wouldn't pursue a career in politics. He can be an activist, but not pursue a career in politics.
In fact, the speculation that he might even go abroad and study.
Yeah, and go and be a lecturer at the university. He's got also a very close relationship with the FISMAS Fall Group. We remember VATES, UCT. He's got a very close comradeship relationship with students.
Sure.
So he may go there or study. You know, maybe it's time for EFF to start doing what the DA used to do. You're giving us problems, we'll send you abroad to go
and send you to Harvard for a couple of years.
Yeah, for a couple of years. Then you'll come back with your head being brainwashed. But I don't think he's got future in EFF politics. Two, if I was interested in looking at his character, in politics, fresh, it's dark, it's dark. It's not a clean game.
Yeah.
So a person of academia and studies and what like Ndlozi, I don't think he will fit in politics. And I said it will be cheap of him to jump into Mkhondo. I don't say Dr. Ndlozi must not join a political party that he prefers to join.
Sure.
Understand? He will fit much better in an organization like MKP, knowing his thinking capacity and the people who groomed him. By the way, he was recruited into the EFF, ironically, by Floyd Shivambo. But I know because I was there during that, but he was groomed into the socialist, pan-Africanist, black conscious politics by Andile Mdlama.
Yes.
You know, they used to have these meetings. They used to call them their coffee sessions. Every day, They every day fresh. They will see the two of them for a minimum 30 minutes. And Andile in a township language will say ke khabodisa.
I would have paid a decent amount of money to be a fly on the wall for those sessions.
For those sessions,
because that's
yes.
two highly intellectual,
very yes.
Political minds.
Absolutely, and you know they are also level-headed.
Yes,
and I think it was. But I think he should leave politics. He should leave the EFF.
You are advising Ndlozi, leave the EFF and go to which party? Which party do you think would best utilize him?
Look, Ndlozi, the kind of a person can fit anywhere. He's a yeah. researcher. He's an academia. He will fit in any political party.
Maybe he can help the Freedom Front make the Western Cape an independent state.
Honestly speaking, if he goes to controversy, which I suspect he will, if he goes there, there's going to be a backlash from controversy people. There's going to be a very serious backlash. But I think I look at if I look at political parties in South Africa, I see Ndlozi more as the guy of ATM, Zungula.
Sure.
I see him more as that person. He will fit better there, where there's academia, intellectuals, and people who are focusing on statistics and records and books. He will fit sure. better there as a person. I don't say he should go there. I don't say I prefer him in ATM. But if you are a bookworm and you are that politician who wants to not push a revolution and be a rebel and be... In MK, it's the same as EFF when it started. Sure. There is a war. And he will be a misfit. Take into consideration his personality.
Sure.
And but it's a wait and see situation. I'm glad he did something very smart. It's an art of war. You must irritate the opponent. And at the moment, I am saying Julius is the opponent of Ndlozi. Sure. The way Julius have conducted himself, he has become very clear. And Ndlozi has irritated Julius by doing what? By being silent when he was expected to talk or to jump ship or to understand. That's a strategy that you sometimes take a step back, keep quiet, and that irritates the opponent. And then what he did in Ndlozi successfully, he managed to expose and push Julius into a corner so that Julius can talk about how he feels about Ndlozi without Ndlozi doing anything. Just by being silent.
And he continues to be silent.
That irritated Julius and it frustrated Julius. So it made Julius to talk, to try and make Ndlozi to talk. And Ndlozi kept on keeping quiet. And for me, that was a strategy. At yes. times, you irritate the opponent by keeping quiet. Then you will see the true position of the opponent. Then you know what to do.
Yeah, let them make them show the hand.
Their hand, yes. And he has successfully done that. It's unfortunate. Julius can dismiss this as one person. When one person leaves the organization and 1,000 followers leaves with him, and some who are not even followers of Ndlozi, some who are saying there is no democracy in our organization, the Economic Freedom Fighters, we therefore cannot continue like this.
Yes.
So people who have been alleging for many years to say Julius is a dictator, there's no democracy and things like that, he has actually played into the hands of those people. But like I said, they are... elective conference was a success. It was smooth sailing. For me, the rallies, elective conferences, I've grown so much into politics that I know they are meaningless, those things. It's what the political party is going to do.
Yes.
Come the local elections. Come what you promise your members. Things that you said you will do.
Yes.
If you don't do that, you must, for South Africans are no longer stupid. They're no longer voting or following political parties due to historical background.
Yes, sir.
And preference of people. People are asking serious questions now. What is this political party doing for us? And I think they must be very careful. You must start working towards the planning of local government elections come 2026. It's less than 2 years now. And that's what parties should focus on. Local elections are the heartbeat of the South African politics. That's where the members, the followers, the townships, the rural areas, and local municipalities are. And that's where the EFF should focus, and all other parties for that matter.
In fact, let's go to the next party that was in the news this past week. And the MK party is a year old.
Yes.
I'm still a Baba key, but for a Baba doing very well, rattling things.
Yeah.
And many would argue probably the political newsmaker of the year, the MK party.
I think they became, look, if media houses were fair and just, they would have said the MKP is the political newsmaker of the year.
Yeah.
But I don't see those debates. We are left with, what, a week for the year to end?
Yeah.
And I don't see those debates coming out because why? The mainstream media does not favor controversies. And propelling them and putting them in the front pages of newspapers will boost their situation. But they have done very well. Look, coincidentally, their first year anniversary coincided with the EFF's conference, coincided with historically the Afrikaner, holiday of, what do they call it, the resistance, the 16th of December, which has now been turned into Reconciliation Day in the Democratic South. So there was a lot happening in this past weekend. But we saw also how controversies were filled up Moses Mabhida's yam without an effort. One of the things they boast with is that they don't bus people to their events. People go there on their own. You know, when I looked at that on television, it actually reminded me of the ANC. I honestly saw the ANC. And I said, that green wave I saw, that's what we know with the ANC. Come January 8th, come anniversaries, they will fill up stadiums, there'll be parties everywhere, there'll be gala dinners. And I think for a one-year-old party day, they were undermined. They did very well for themselves, but there's something also political that I've picked up in the last month. There's been quite a number of by-elections, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal.
But hasn't the ANC been taking those, though?
Yes, and that's why I'm saying, you see, now when we speak real politics, you may fill the stadiums, but you are not winning the wards.
Yes,
and if I was,
because often by-elections tell a bigger story.
By-elections tell a bigger story. And let me tell you, controversies where leaders, they should be very concerned at the moment of what is happening. In all the by-elections wards, whether it was in the Northern Cape, whether in the Northwest, or Waterfall, anywhere, or in KwaZulu-Natal, I think if my memory serves me right, they only managed to secure one ward. But you know, you must look at the statistics that went out of the IEC regarding these by-elections. Fresh, if you compare the number of votes, and I went into the figures, you know, the number of votes that MKP got in some wards that the ANC have reclaimed now, during the May 29th national and provincial elections, because people were voting in wards.
Yes.
They've even lost the wards where they dominated during the May 29th national elections. They've lost those wards. So there should be a concern for a political party to say, what A, B, C, D, E, they delivered our national and provincial vote, provincial being KwaZulu-Natal in this instance. And now when it's local elections, we have lost it to the ANC. And the ANC has actually, I don't know whether people have lost trust in the new party or what, but the by-elections have demonstrated how the ANC is reclaiming the ground.
No, in fact, my question is, do you think people have changed their mind about voting for the MKP, or are the people that didn't bother to vote now showing up?
I will go with the latter. I think people who were upset on national elections, they are taking charge of their communities and wards and well-being. What the ANC have done also for the first time, and I listened to Mayor, is it Febe Potriter or Potriter Febe, the ANC policy leader?
Phoebe.
Phoebe, yes. She was explaining that one of the strategies they applied is to allow the people in a ward to elect who they are. They didn't impose like they used to do. She said that's one of the things they've realized as part of their corrective measure, and was that, to impose people on wards, on communities.
And that's all communities have ever asked
for. They've been asking
for. Could we have someone we can relate to that is one of us that lives our experience, represent us?
Yes.
Not someone who's parachuted in from some suburb that can't relate to our day-to-day.
Exactly. And I think the ANC got a wake-up call, and that's why they're again, they even won what in the Western Cape and then the Northern Cape was that previously belonged to the DA. So what they've done, they've gone to the community and said, who's the community leader here? Community leader, are you a member of the ANC, or can you associate yourself with the ANC? And they've put that person as their face of by-elections. Sure. And as you correctly said, Tato, we must inform our people and followers that by-elections are actually a building, you know, steps towards local government election. They indicate, look at what happened in Northwest, I think it's Waterfall or something like the Thaba Zimbi area.
Sure.
Where, you know, also how this by-elections come, the new parties like Umkhonto weSizwe, because they've got members who are councillors, they ask them to resign in order to collapse a municipality. You understand? That's why we go into by-elections. You ask a councillor who's now your member to say, no, resign, so that the municipality must collapse. Yes. We go into elections so that with hope that they will have a clean sweep. And things turned upside down. They turned the other way around. In one word that controversy in KwaZulu-Natal, Umhlunduzi or Umsunduzi, something like that.
Sure.
MKP was supposed to win that word, but the ANC won it. You know what happened? In the last minute, and I saw Floyd Sivambo, the SG of MKP, has issued a statement that they are howling that leader into a disciplinary hearing. The person who was the MKP candidate for that word.
Sure.
And they were going to have a clean sweep, was withdrawn in the last minute without the national leadership knowing and replaced by somebody who's also an MKP member that the community rejected.
Sure.
Understand? So they imposed somebody on the community, not the preferred, and they lost that award because of that.
Sure.
So I think the ANC got a wake-up call and they're doing it right. They're doing it right by starting at local elections. They may shock the country to improve. I doubt if they will. People are not going to buy the story anymore of promises. They want to see the doings. I'm glad local elections are coming first.
Because there's been talk of renewal for 10 years.
Yes.
And
yes.
Many have not seen anything new. So this might be the last opportunity they have to claw back at least 50%.
Yeah, they have an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they must use the fact that it's local government elections. The people they put into those municipalities, no matter how small they are, they must put people in municipalities that will deliver what the residents or the community want. If they fail to do that, if they go to take Botsang, who lives in Verwoerdsberg, and put him as a councillor in Olive and Houtbosch, they will lose.
Yeah.
Because I can't relate with what is happening there. I don't know what's happening. The people there do not know me, but they should actually put people who will deliver to the community. That will boost the community's confidence. People will see changeable things, small things. Streets are cleaned, lights are on, water is being delivered, and then people will come 2026 and say, after the by-elections of 2024, we started seeing changes.
You know these comrades that have water tanker deals to deliver water to people because for some reason over 30 years you couldn't deliver tap water
to people. Tap water, yeah.
You know if they stopped just that, they would regain the faith of so many people.
Yes.
In the northwest, in Mpumalanga, I think in the Northern Cape also, the communities that have had either poor water or no water for years.
Yes, that's fresh.
But there's someone every month who's paid with the water tanker.
Who's invoicing a municipality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has been happening. Look, I was home last week.
If they close that tap, pun unavoidable, if they can close that tap, trust me, they'll get a lot of people saying we're starting to see a difference.
Yes.
With all the
That's all. Right. Give people water. I was home last week.
Yeah.
I was at my parents' home.
Randfontein. Yes.
First, we arrived on Sunday because my younger sister's son was, my nephew was being confirmed in church. So I went to church on Sunday the whole day.
No, you've got the church glow. that freshly blessed glow.
Man. And they told me that I stayed home for 2 days. They didn't have water here in Randfontein, Komakakeng, for 3 days. Then fourth day, when I left, I'm like, "Hey guys, I'm going there to the suburb of St. John. There's water at least in my house." I mean, it's worse in there. You know, for a moment, I sat down to reflect on this whole thing. I actually felt it was better if I was in a village in some rural area.
Yeah.
Because they are accustomed to pit latrine toilets. They are accustomed. They have measures.
It's a way of life.
Developed on how you can handle this thing. We didn't know what to do. There's an event at home. There's people all over. The sewage system is not working. And my mom nearly killed me. You know, after taking a bath in a Vascom, I threw the water away. It's like, what the hell did you do then? Because you could have put that water in a cistern.
Yeah, that's grey water you can flush
with. You can flush with that. I didn't think.
Yeah.
As I'm not used to that.
You know, to this day when I shower, I have a Vascom at the bottom to catch any extra water.
Extra.
And I use that to flush.
His bra.
And I'm trying to encourage my kids that you don't need to shower for more than 3 minutes.
No,
you hear the shower going 10 minutes later. The shower, I'm like, what are you doing showering for 10 minutes?
But yes, Vic, I told you the story of how President, the late President Chavez of Venezuela.
In fact, I call it the Hugo Chavez, shower.
Yes,
the 3 minute
yes.
shower.
He introduced that in Venezuela. He said, I'm the head of state. I don't use a bath. Why are you in the shower for more than 3 minutes?
Even 3 minutes is a lot.
It's a lot.
Because you can pre-lather your face
yes.
at the basin.
Yeah.
Then you can get under the shower for 30 seconds to wet your body.
Wet your body.
Lather your body.
Yeah.
And then 1 minute to remove.
Exactly.
Then you're
that's
done.
That's all you need.
But the busy wasting water.
Yeah, and now we are out of water. But another thing with this water crisis that you have brought in.
Yeah.
That irked me. Mm. It's municipalities and clever people saying it's maintenance of this. It's not maintenance, Rich. Mm. Me and you, around March, we spoke about how an official report in Johannesburg, city of Joburg, was saying more than 40% of the water loss was due to leaks.
Yeah, and wastage.
Yeah, now the government has come and said it's the responsibility of the individuals or consumers, households, business, and government to do it. No, it's not.
The time they're spilling 40%
of the water. The government is spilling 40% of the water, not the people. Mm. Why do you want me to come and help you? All you needed to do was to close those pipes or service them and save that water. Now that Johannesburg or Gauteng is in a water crisis, they want to say to people, don't water your garden, shower less, use rainwater to do A, B, C, D, and E, when they're failing to do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not me who's saying that. It's an official report that came out early this year to say 43% of water losses in the city of Joburg only is due to pipe leaks. Everywhere you drive through the streets of Joburg, there's water leaks everywhere. What is the government doing with that?
A pipe will go unrepaired for weeks.
Yes.
There's water gushing out of there.
And there's the kind, where's the councillor? Where's the ward councillor? That's the problem again, going back to by-election. You'll find out that the ward councillor in that particular ward is not living there.
Sure.
He's not aware of what is going on. And those are some of the challenges we have been faced with this past week, bro.
Can we move to frontline states? So I don't know if we should start in Botswana or Namibia. Not Namibia, Botswana or Mozambique.
Yes.
In fact, let's start in Mozambique. The Mozambique election
in the IEC. The commission.
They come up with a statement saying, that's before we even talk about the meeting that happened between both governments. They said that on Monday, they're going to announce the result of the recount.
The recounted, yes.
But people must have calm heads.
Yes.
It sounds like they've already, they're already announcing that the result is not going to change.
And did you hear what Renamo and who's the leader, Mondlane?
Mondlane, yes.
Have said. Mm. They said they've been on V6.
Yeah.
Now they must go to V8. Mm. So they have actually said to the people, come Monday, the people must intensify the pressure on and forget that. I think the government of Mozambique or the IEC and the observers are actually playing a very, very risky game with the lives of people by forcing to announce the results, which the oppositions and the independent candidates, when they were busy recounting, they said, stop the recounting. We are saying this were rigged. Don't recount rigged votes or rigged elections anymore. So people are saying, actually, even recounting is no longer going to help them.
Yeah, because to put bad grapes in a new bottle doesn't change.
Yes. And I think we are going to, in the coming week, we are going to see Mozambicans, instead of preparing for Christmas, they'll be preparing for a revolution. I think they'll be intensifying. They'll be preparing for a war. I saw some videos. It was very interesting. You know, there's a very high influence of Muslim community in Mozambique. And I saw a community of, I don't know why was it dominated by Muslim women, but with children, and they were marching the streets of Maputo and other, you know, areas like Bileni, in more modern, you know, suburbs than rural areas. So I don't think they are treating this matter with the care that it deserves, especially that there's already been loss of lives, you know, in the crisis in Mozambique. But I can tell you now, the people of Mozambique are going to reject whatever the IEC in Mozambique is going to announce on Monday.
Sure. But there was also a meeting between both governments.
which I think, you know, professionally, it was a very, very good move, particularly from the South African side. Remember, Mozambique has been opening and closing the main border post, Lebombo border post, or Lebombo port of entry. They've been opening and closing it on, off, on, off. So the two governments decided to meet on when was it, Tuesday, and going into Wednesday. So what solutions can we have? Because it's now festive season, it's peak season, people want to go home, and business and trade must continue. What can we do? The agreement, look, it was a tough call. You know, I used to be in the space for quite a long time. But it will work. We have done it once. I can't remember what was the crisis about. So what they've done, Tato, they've moved the border post from Lebombo border post, the precinct of the border. They are not operating from there because it's targeted. Now, Lebombo border post was one of the border posts that, as way back as Nelson Mandela administration, it was supposed to be a one-stop border post. So in other words, the way we had constructed our side of the border, Mozambique could have moved into our side of the border, and we sit under one building. It was done in that fashion.
That would have made logistical sense.
One-stop border posts are where the world is going now. Those who are the system, that's where the world is going. So now, with the advantage of the both infrastructure in both countries, there's something they call kilometer 4. Another one is called kilometer 7. So in other words, in Mozambique, the trucks go and clear. All trucks, whether inbound or outbound, they clear kilometer 4. It's on Mozambican side. And then in South Africa, it's kilometer 7. And the ones that come unladen, they just go through. And that's where they clear passengers and people and pedestrians. So they've decided to do it that way, to separate the commercial vehicles and goods from passenger vehicles and goods and clear it deep into the country. But the nice thing is South African Police Service coming into the game as well and agreeing to actually escort vehicles right up to kilometer 4 in Mozambique. Then the Mozambican authorities will take over from there. But once you're at kilometer 4, if you know how far Matola is from Maputo, it's very close. And I think the police can escort vehicles that are going to the port of Maputo successfully. And Mozambicans, once they are in the country as individuals or passengers or people, whether they walked all through or they were driving, they will be safe. And thumbs up to both the governments for the engagement. I think that was a responsible move for both governments to can come to their party and agree on such. And I just, you know, for me, when there's no loss of life and risking people, you are supposed to be going to play there.
I had an event, I think, 28 December that was cancelled because of the uncertainty.
You remember what I said last week? If I were you or your organizers, I would have called this off. You don't want to risk and be in a country where the protesters are saying we are shutting down the country. We are even intensifying come Monday.
And they might target those who seem to want to just carry on with life.
Exactly. You understand? Why do you want to carry on? We are in a crisis. We are in a rebellious, you know, mode. You want to carry on.
Oshaya number.
Things are number. I have to say to the Border Management Authority of South Africa and the Mozambican, you know, Ports Authority officials, it was a good move. Another good thing. You see, it's possible. Look at the timing. They've done it timelessly. They didn't wait for the crisis to happen. They're being proactive. They are saying, this may happen. What can we do? Not to irritate those people further, but to make so that there's a safe passage through for goods and vehicles. Because people in Mozambique will still need their families to come home for Christmas. They will still need goods. Trade must continue.
And you know, a lot of Mozambicans actually just cross the border to buy groceries and go back.
Yeah, you go to Komatipoort, you buy groceries, and you go back to neighboring, you know, a town or villages. So, look, that's how Africa is. You understand? These border lines that were colonially created, we must always remember that, you know, I always tell you that my grandfather from my mother's side jumped the border and found my grandmother in Lesotho. My grandfather from Zira's jumped the border to find my grandmother in Botswana. Now all my families from both sides, they are along the border lines of the three countries.
Exactly. And you often find that families are literally separated by the border.
Yes.
But it's almost one village.
It's almost one village, yes. So yeah, I think it was a good move for the government.
Sure.
And let's hope that, you know, sense will prevail to the IEC officials in Mozambique. If you are aware, look, they've got an intelligence.
I think they've called it. By simply saying, guys, the results are back. Please be level-headed in how you respond.
Nah, they shouldn't do that. But yeah, you know, with politicians, they wait for something to happen, then they react.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go to Botswana quickly. So Botswana and Namibia had a import ban on vegetables from South Africa.
Yes.
I think it was a protectionist move in the hope of bolstering food production in both countries.
Yes.
Botswana has a new government, and they have decided to reverse that. And I think they're starting with 8 vegetable categories or something.
Yeah.
And then next year, everything else will be allowed, to be imported all over again. And remember, Konja, who was the Minister of Agriculture who...
It was before the current, the South African minister.
Yes, who was complaining this is actually problematic.
It was a lady, yes, it was before the current minister, I forgot her name, who stood up and said no, but he actually went to engage the previous administration of Botswana just before, sometimes last year,
yes,
to say this is not working for us and for both countries, actually.
Yes.
Look, Tato, protectionism and protecting your local industry or whatever, it's normal within the economic trade sectors.
Sure.
It does happen. But I think it was done by Botswana. They didn't look at the bigger picture of what may be the setbacks and the shortcomings.
Sure.
They just say we want to protect our market. Mm. We are a farming country. We want our local farmers. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But you should have looked at the capacity. You should have looked at how ready was the local farming production and all that. Face it in smartly. They just brought it abruptly. Mm. And it's years ago. And I don't think Botswana benefited from that move.
And if anything, I mean, it might be one of the reasons that people voted differently. I can't afford vegetables. Or I can't find vegetables.
Yeah, it may have irritated people, but not to that extent.
But often the stomach sometimes will determine the direction.
The direction you're going.
Because already I don't have a job. I'm unemployed.
If you look at it that way.
COVID has decimated not only the country, but myself and my family. Now I can't find vegetables. I can't find potatoes. I mean, there's a politician who arrogantly said, some of the chicken franchises.
Yes.
Had gone to complain because there was zero potatoes available.
Zero potatoes,
so they couldn't make fries.
I remember
which
that
are part of the menu. And I think one of the politicians arrogantly said, "I've never heard of anyone dying from not eating potatoes, so you guys will be fine."
I remember that incident. But what is also nice, in order not to have dumping an influx of South African, in this instance, vegetables and agricultural products as well in Botswana. I like what the Boko administration is doing.
Mm.
They are reversing it on faces actually as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
They don't just come and say, we are removing this law so South Africa, you can bring your products here, because it may create other problems. We are having food security crisis in South Africa.
Absolutely.
So they must guard against those things as well. But look, again, it shows how the relations, the bilateral relations between the countries can aid the people.
Absolutely.
You know, you may refuse to do something because you are a hard, rock politician, while you are actually indirectly punishing your own citizens.
And I think there's an opportunity here for President Boko's government to maybe find other ways of aiding local farmers. I mean, the American farmers are subsidized right up the bum.
Yeah.
In such a way that they can easily compete globally with our agricultural producers. And there's no reason why you find ways of incentivizing farmers to continue farming. We will, I don't know, help you with irrigation. We'll sort out your borehole. We'll sort out your seeds for you to plant. We'll sort out your harvesting for free.
There
are many ways you can subsidize your farmers so that their produce is as competitive as the large-scale farmers who are exporting from South Africa.
We have seen it. We have seen how South African farmers from the Free State and other, they left this country to go to countries like Zambia, Malawi, Mozambique to help and prepare and train and develop. They were doing it for business,
yeah.
You know, small-scale farmers who are now very competitive in the market with organic products. We have seen it in Burkina Faso now,
yeah.
where Captain Ibrahim Traoré has used agriculture to pay a national debt. Did you see what he did this week? He paid the IMF 4.9 trillion loans that they had from agricultural products, not even mining and from agricultural products, because what he did, the whole of last year invested on agriculture.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive to can help small-scale farmers. It's not that. It's not like you must buy them big pieces of land.
Yeah.
They must not do the mistake that South Africa did by giving people pieces of land and seeds at the beginning, they left them there.
Mm.
You understand? You have to incubate this whole process.
Sure.
They must take them through an incubation process. And we know that Botswana are farmers.
Generally,
anyway.
Generally farmers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know anyone that doesn't have land that they can plow.
Yes.
Or land where they can raise the livestock.
Exactly.
So land is not the issue.
So that's not the issue.
But let's just incentivize people and assist people fully optimize the farmability of the land.
And that will work. That will aid the Republic of Botswana and its people. The land as well as the skill, the farming skill is there.
Mm.
So it's about modern technology. It's about having capital, as you have mentioned, quite a number of capital commodities that they may need. And I think Botswana will be back to, you know, at some stage, I used to boast to people to say Botswana has been competing between Argentina, Botswana, and what do they call it, Australia, regarding the best beef farmers in the world.
No, no, without a doubt. When it comes to quality of beef,
yes, just always number two or three.
I'd argue that Botswana beef has been in the top five for the last 30, 40,
yes,
50 years,
yes,
even.
Exactly. Yeah. So it shows their capabilities,
yeah,
despite the fact that almost half of Botswana is a desert.
Mm.
You understand? Almost, and it's dry.
And a lot of the cattle ranches are in the Kalahari Desert, in Khansi, near the Namibia border.
Then, exactly. And then they came and produced one of the best beef in the world. And it shows how when there's a drive, the capabilities of people are taken into consideration, a country can really thrive.
Absolutely.
Maybe we must go home and start farming and leave the microphones.
No, we can't leave the microphone. We can do a podcast on from DJ to farming. Leave the microphone. We find a way of incorporating the microphone. One of the things that President Boko has been advocating for years is the legalization of medicinal use of marijuana.
Yes.
I foresee an influx of marijuana farming and farmers.
And hemp.
I can actually smell. Yeah, I can smell it. It's about to happen.
Look, it's called the green gold. The Western countries that had demonized marijuana and what it can do, they are now consuming marijuana products, whether as skin, hair, or health products than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think the Botswana government have seen an opportunity there. They call it the green gold.
So.
And them legalizing farming marijuana and hemp for business and medicinal purposes.
And for exports.
It was a great move.
In fact, there's a dude of mine, I won't say in which province because I don't want to put a spotlight on him. He farms like big time. For export to Australia.
Yeah.
He exports weed to Australia.
Yes.
And it's big business.
It's big. Look at the US and Canada, how they've gone big on consumption of weed, medicinal and health products.
Yeah. And this is from demonizing it just 20 years ago to all of a sudden, we can make billions of dollars taxing this thing.
Exactly. They are focusing on the tax. We must supply them. We've got the best land to can produce anything in Africa.
Yeah.
And we need leaders who can see that opportunity for the people.
Absolutely. In fact, while we're outside the borders, I mean, quite a lot happened this year. Just looking at the year that was in terms of change of governments, election results that many argue it was obvious it was going to happen. Others were shocked.
I don't know who's getting shocked.
That people voted maybe in a way that was not expected.
What
caught your mind the most in terms of...
Where do we start? Look, there's been elections generally in the world from east to west.
Sure.
I was not surprised. We started the west. I was not surprised by the Trump, team, you know, being triumphant in this whole thing. I was not surprised. The instability in France and Germany, that's what actually caught me by surprise.
Oh, those government collapses.
Yes, those guys, they've both collapsed.
Yeah.
Germany must go to elections as early as February.
Mm.
And now France, the President Macron had to recall the prime minister.
But Unoti, why is he trying to be the boss of bosses?
Why did he consult why is he bypassing
but everyone?
The party, even your own party that deploys you, you go and you bypass them.
Unoti.
No, I think he was a planted agent who said, you know what, let's collapse this. Remember, they're also in a coalition government in France.
Yeah.
That's happened in Germany. The latest that has happened, which also caught me, I didn't see that one coming. It's South Korea.
Mm.
Where youth, your favorite wave, your youth wave, taking off, pardon me, the government. I didn't see that one coming. Late in the year, the prime minister in that country makes one wrong statement. He thinks he's above everybody, and the South Koreans or the Koreans were all over the street, and the government has collapsed. Those that happened in Africa, they didn't surprise me at all.
Do we know why he decided to declare martial law in South Korea?
I think. And with the little, information that I've been trying to gather, I think the youth were becoming more militant and starting to demand things that the government had promised.
Yeah.
The economy in South Korea was actually, collapsing, getting bad.
Mm.
The relations with North Korea, which have been bad for ages, those two brothers, they don't get along well. It was being worsened. But also, the main thing is allowing the West, especially the Americans, to establish or to intensify and increase their military presence in the shores of South Korea.
Sure.
I think that's what irked the Koreans. I think that's what, look, there's too many wars all over the world. Don't drag our country into that. We do not, and we are not interested in having more military presence of NATO and the Americans in our area to guard against what? China as well as North Korea.
Mm.
I think that's what was the main thing. The South Koreans were saying, we are not interested. We don't want this. And he didn't want to listen. He decided to declare martial law. Very big mistake, very uncalculated. And it's when you have leaders who undermine what the people can do. We saw it in Korea. Now, there's no government in that country. You understand? But what happened in government changes in Africa, except the coup belt that happened late last year, the Burkina Faso and all that, the ones that went through the democratic process, they except Kenya. In Kenya started this whole thing of the youth wave protesting against the government. Another head of state. That's what happened in Kenya. Another head of state undermined the nation, undermined the population. The youth rose. I don't know where were the adults. Where were the parents when the youth stands up and say, this president is doing nonsense and we will stop the country functioning?
You know what I suspect? I suspect that, and I don't know if it's an Africa-wide thing, where a lot of people, especially those that might have been youth at independence, almost have this romantic and romanticized relationship with the liberator.
Liberators, yeah.
So, despite whatever issues you may have, that's why I think often, especially in the rural areas, where maybe they might not be exposed to as much information as in the urban areas, that often in the rural areas, the liberators will continue getting strong votes. It's in the urban areas where people start realizing that, no, man, there's options here.
But it has a time frame.
Mm.
It has a time frame. They can do it up to a certain point. At some stage, it will stop because you can't call a 27-year-old a child anymore.
Yeah.
At 27, this person does not want to hear history and vive in Amanda and Robben Island and exile. They want to see what has the present government done.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in Kenya. In South Africa, they responded the same. In Namibia, South Africa, and Botswana, they responded the same. The young people, the young generation, didn't care whether this party is 100 years old.
Mm.
In Botswana, it's 67 years in power or 58 years in power. They didn't care. They just said, we want to vote and bring a government that we think it will bring change.
Mm.
You understand? And that's what happened generally. Luckily, most of the African countries, it was not through protest or coups or what. It was through ballot boxes.
Absolutely.
Except in our neighboring favorite Mozambique. That's only there where the Frelimo party is really refusing. But let's hope the week we are getting into. But there's been quite a number of government changes.
Sure.
Most of it, I would say, positive.
Sure.
Most of it. You look at, even if SWAPO has come back into power in the Republic of Namibia, but they came back with a woman who's trusted, who's known to be a clean administrator, although it still belongs to SWAPO. In South Africa, the ANC has been removed out of power, which I think people are happy because that's how they voted, but they still gave it the majority with 40%, and it came back into power through the back door,
yes,
or through a coalition of 9 to 10 other parties. And in Botswana, it was absolute. That was a shock. That was an absolute overhaul.
I don't think anyone anticipated that it would be that much of a landslide.
I didn't expect anywhere. Yeah, I expected neck on neck, but that was an absolute overhaul. I mean, a ruling party moving from, what, 30 seats to 4?
Yeah.
Now, bro, you know this Botswana that people say they can't fight. You remember when I said at the beginning of the show, at times you fight with silence.
Sure.
When you get an opportunity to press the red button, you press the red button, then it leaves everybody shocked. But I must also praise what I've been observing. The relationship of Boko and Masisi, the Botswana former president and the current. At the beginning, during elections, there was tensions, there was name calling, which was a little bit clumsy. I was very concerned about that, but I've noticed they're working together now. And I think they've accepted defeat, shift aside, and let's give the new boys, you know, time to govern. In South Africa, we're still stepping on eggs fresh. We're still... I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure if the GNU is stable. You know, week in, week out, there's something. Maybe now people will be lost by the Christmas and the New Year celebrations.
Julius Malema, at the press conference, said that he knows that at some stage, Auntie Helen is going to pack her bags and be sick and tired.
Yeah.
And that's when the EFF are going to jump in. Do you think that has even an iota of a chance of happening?
Having have listened to Julius, and days after, exactly 2 days after Julius said that, Gwede Mantashe was on the JJ Tabane, Dr. JJ Tabane's show.
Yes.
And he indirectly reiterated, if you listen carefully.
Yeah.
And Gwede Mantashe, as a chairperson of the African National Congress, he hardly goes on media and give interviews, hardly. But when he said what Julius has said, he said, Helen Zille must remember that this is a collective government of national unity.
Yeah.
And therefore, they can just dump any of their party and go to bed with any other. And the second apology, and Julius is wounded at the moment, very wounded with what has happened and the move. I've always said I don't think the GNU will last.
Sure.
I've always maintained that position. I don't think it will see the five-year term. We will go into January, February 2025. I think we'll start seeing a true picture of where this thing is going. Because now all the acts that were approved by President Ramaphosa, the Bella Act, which is a thorn in the Democratic Alliance, and the conduct of Helen Zille, I don't want to say the conduct of the DA. I want to say the conduct of their leader, Helen Zille, he sometimes says things that even contradict what his own party stands for in the GNU.
Yeah.
I'll give an example. 2 days ago, a school in the Western Cape, which is governed by the Democratic Alliance, it was the first school to pronounce in the country that one, they are moving into a dual medium. It's an African school. I just forgot the town. They're in January coming. And while the DA leader, Helen Zille, and the minister of the education from the DA, they are against the Bella Act. And again, you know, fresh looking at the Bella Act that President Ramaphosa has given people until a few days ago, it has expired. Guys, it is illegal what President Ramaphosa and the DA have done.
Yeah.
You cannot suspend an act of government that has been signed into law.
It's been passed.
It has been passed. What is this 3 months here, clause 4 and 5?
Because you are eggshelling around them.
But you can't do anything. The act is an act of government. The only people who can change that act of government is MPs. If it goes back to them, they must come to us to tell us why are they doing it, and we must opinionate as the public.
But isn't this the indecision that many often lament about President Ramaphosa? that because he wants to
please everybody,
appease and please everyone versus being decisive.
You can't do that.
That I'm going to make a call and that's where we're going.
He didn't make any call. He did not.
Yeah.
He kept quiet. Time has passed. Now what? If these people had said, and Gwede Mantashe explains it better, he's not one of the good speakers anyway, but he explains it better to say, what they agreed upon is not to suspend those clauses of the act. You can't suspect the act. It's to go and look at the modalities,
yes,
and how we can do this thing. Mm. The how. And yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
The law is there. The civil servants must go and look at the how.
And if you have issues with the how, the courts are there.
As they always take each other
because
to court.
Because they're the kings and queens of lawfare.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. The courts will go and interpret it for you. They will go and say, this is how you should be, or give a directive. You understand? But this thing of President Ramaphosa sitting back and giving dates and for things that are necessary. And you still don't even brief us. It doesn't help us as a nation. I at times think, this man is probably not in the country.
Mm.
I sometimes think he's on autopilot and he doesn't care. You understand? But why did he stand for the second term? He should have said, you know what, we lost elections. I'm out of here.
Mm.
I'm leaving this thing. But now he's running the country with autopilot and it's not helping us.
Absolutely. Now, one of the big, big stories that is still with us was children all over the country eating contaminated food bought from tuck shops or spaza shops.
Mm.
And President, after being quiet for a very long time, appeared on TV and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you boxes to tick if you're going to set up a tuck shop, and you must apply. And if you comply with every tick box exercise that is a part of the application, you'll get your license to trade. There was a deadline, and as always, the deadline is extended.
Yeah.
Because generally, we don't care about deadlines. Often, we wait until the last day, and then we complain that, ish.
Fresh, this one, I've monitored. You must give the spaza owners, who, when I looked at television and pictures, majority are foreign nationals from Somalia and Bangladesh and Pakistan. But this time, we must give them credit. I have been observing this. Mm. They didn't wait until the last day. The minute the president announced the 21 days, which we all knew, it's impossible.
Yeah.
The minute that people started running, people started knowing, now it exposed the government that the people who have been licensing or not even licensing to run a tech shop or spaza shops, as we call them, did not know rules and regulations. Now you must start that somebody says you must go and get a health practitioner, what do you call it, environmental health certificate. What is that? Then you must still go and learn what is that. But it has been extended until end of February.
Yeah.
Which I think it will be extended again. I'll tell you why. We are getting into a festive season. South Africa is sleeping from this past weekend, from this weekend that we are in. It's sleeping, going to wake up come the around the second weekend of January.
Yeah.
So nothing is going to happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Sure.
And then when we start in January, we all have stress and depression. We are broke. So everything goes very slow. The wheels are until public servants get their salary on the 15th, then things will start waking.
But the one good thing that's come out of this is the fact that they found budget, and I think they have just over 500 inspectors.
Yes.
That'll cover
all the regions
to do spot checks.
No, this,
make sure that there's compliance.
Yeah, this they are handling it correctly. I think the government is doing very well. To now it's already late because we have lost life, but they are doing well.
Sure.
They did the right thing. Have the inspectors on the ground. Shut down those that are not complying with basic requirements at the moment.
Yeah.
And then we will take it from there as a nation. But it has been a very sad year that we lost so many kids. And kids, you could see. But, you know, for some people are refusing when some of us say, it can't be that we have had tech shops and spaza shops all our lives in this country. And 1 year, 2024, there's just a wave. And we think it's an accident or it's happening in jail.
You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, that for me, it smells orchestrated.
I still feel strongly
it either smells orchestrated, or all the spaza shops are buying from one source that had a contaminated batch of something. But the fact that they've been operating like this generally for the last 30 years, kids can't be dying all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Unless there's a third hand at play.
There is. I strongly believe that should a proper investigation be conducted on the, because these bazaar shops, they also buy from where other supermarkets buy, from where me and you, we buy. Mm. I know people running bazaar shops who buy from one of the big, you know, suppliers. And you see them, you know, they even have a bulk or section there.
Yeah.
And it can't be that we woke up one year and our children, black children, in townships are dying from food contaminated, taken from farm. And we sit back and we say, no, it's red poison or halipirim or whatever you call organic phosphate that is doing that because it does not handle carefully. When this thing has been in our communities for all, why suddenly there is that whole thing? You know what somebody said to me? Said to me, you know, but some black people are waking up against white capital and rich politicians who are enjoying and are comfortable. Mm. And in order for them to be destabilized, to be distracted and derailed from this rude awakening, something had to be done to keep them busy.
Mm.
And a lot of things can be done. I mean, if the apartheid regime could kill their own people, if Israel can kill and bomb their own soldiers, why wouldn't our own government do that in order to derail the attention of the people?
Sure.
But I personally don't think this thing of spaza shops is just a coincidence or an accident. I don't think so. I think there's a third force. I think there's an element of intended sabotage to the whole process.
Absolutely. Mm. Did someone put on the aircon? Because all of a sudden this aircon is...
The fan in the aircon.
Eh? Who put on the aircon? Is it you guys?
Is it? It's hot in the house.
Is it? Or is it time to go? Oh. Or is this how you chase us out? You just put on the fan. Yo.
You know, before
you guys,
I don't know what do you have there.
Before you guys are white monopoly capital. How do you chase blacks away? Put on the aircon.
It reminds me in the offices when we started working.
Yeah.
I don't know in the radio if you experienced that. There was always a fight between black people and white for the aircon.
It happened to me at 5 FM.
Oh, okay.
Because at 5 FM, there was only a handful of black people.
Yes,
there was just a handful of us. But in the main, it was Mangamla.
Yeah.
And that aircon was very Woolworths.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, now people buy a check us, please.
But you know, the one thing that's interesting in place as we close the year.
Yeah.
And it's something that we'll probably discuss in our opening in the new year. You know, there's been a call for a national dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the president said there must be a national dialogue.
No, it's actually President Mbeki who started that.
Yes.
President Ramaphosa supported it. That and the foundations, sure. Robert Sobukwe, Biko, Mandela, all these foundations that are actually the tools. And I know they won't like me for saying that, but all these foundations, including President Mbeki and Robert Sobukwe's foundations, they are tools of white capital. They are being used by imperialists, funded and used by imperialists to push an agenda that will drive a certain narrative in the country. And the narrative is at least I said it to you. The Swart Gevaar kind of a thing.
Yes.
You understand? To say these people are becoming militant. These people are starting to rebel. These people are starting to talk a
language.
They're waking up.
Yeah.
And now what they've done, and I'm telling South Africans, what they've done, they've went to this foundation and said, hey, we've been pumping money on you guys. Start doing your job.
Mm.
So these ones, they must put the militant youth and black people into a chain like a little leech to hold us back. I don't have a problem that we need a national dialogue.
Yeah.
But who is calling for the national dialogue?
Mm.
Who is calling for? We can't allow that the very same people that has brought this country to where it is, mainly the African National Congress leaders, President Mbeki, President Zuma, all of them, Motlanthe, all that, and these foundations, the Helen Suzmans, that has been creating problems by taking the government to court for the government not to implement its national rules. It's them who are calling for a national dialogue. So people come and fail the country. They collapse the economy. They collapse the political system. They breed corrupt people. And then they sit back and they say, people are waking up to come for politicians and business people.
Yeah.
Let us call for a national dialogue. So they created the problem. Now they want to call us for a national dialogue. I don't think South Africans need a national dialogue in a sense that we need to get into a room and talk. How many dialogues have we had? Economic symposiums, labor, whatever.
The dialogue happened at the polls.
The dialogue happened at the polls. That's where... When they have a national dialogue, when are we going to talk? We don't have. We are not an organized society.
Mm.
We don't have the street committees. We don't have the civil movement representing us. to can go and represent us in a national dialogue. They want to repeat the Kodesa thing. They want to go and sit in air-conditioned offices
yeah.
where black people in majority cannot
question,
go in.
Why are the natives restless?
Yes.
After creating a restless native, you're going to ask, why are the natives restless?
Yes. And then they come with the resolution is, how are we going to handle and manage the natives?
Yeah, religion is not working. So what other OPM can we give them?
Exactly. Religion is not working. Religion is no longer working. You understand? I was in church on Sunday and I looked. The youth were not there, you yeah. know, and all those
no,
things.
No, you must come to our church. Our church has a lot of youth.
Well, I had one reason to go to church. I don't go to church fresh. I was there to support my nephew.
Oh, I thought it's a girl.
No. Can be a girl, then I'll end up getting married.
Often, if you see a guy go to church that hasn't been to church in a very long time, there's a girl.
No, it does not. But this story of calling for a national dialogue, I think the natives must stand up
yeah.
and say, have the national dialogue, but we are coming there as natives.
Because generally, people have the feet on the necks of the government,
yeah.
generally. And it's a trend. You're seeing it. It's growing.
Yes.
People have a voice all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
People feel like, I might become the sacrificial lamb, but you will hear my voice.
You'll hear my voice. Exactly. Exactly. And it can't be the same people. It can't be the same people who have created a mess.
Mm.
The African National Congress was in charge in this country from 1994. Some people are saying, okay, from 1999, because yeah. the first was of national unity, which actually that's from 1996, 97,
sure.
when the new constitution was adopted. Remember the GNU collapsed when the National Party withdrew and folded, you understand?
Mm.
But from that time, whether it's 1997 or 1999, the ANC has been in power solely from top to bottom, except in the Western Cape.
Sure.
Until 2024. And you can't take the same people who were in power, the same guys who were DGs, ministers, president, to come and call for a national dialogue, to come and tell us what is the problem and what is the solution. Nonsense. We can't be listening to those people.
Me, I'd like to recommend, if anything, a referendum app. Every person with a South African ID number
mm-hmm.
that has been recarded to a phone can download an app. And we can hold spot referendums there.
Yeah.
And if you have anything you want to say, you say it there.
Yeah.
Let it happen there.
Yeah.
So
that
you know,
to
then,
the same.
Then you will in real time have your finger on the pulse of what it is people want and don't want. And the technology is there. That country is doing it already.
But they don't care. They will not do that. They will not accept that. They will not approve or fund it. Because once the people know, once the people have access
yeah.
to information and to can give political leaders a directive,
yeah.
then they know that they will be out of the office. So they will not accept something like that.
Brother, we are done.
Yeah, they've been chasing, and now they've switched the aircon to heat.
Now we're waiting for the orchestra to start playing, like we're giving
so
a speech at the Grammys. So we can
yeah,
leave.
No, brother, Fresh, thanks a lot, man. This has been an incredible year, man. This has been an incredible year.
Shout out to you, brother.
No, shout out, Fresh, with my left, but it has been incredible. And to the viewers and the comments and the followers,
yeah.
it has been a very great year. I've seen this show, I've observed this show, I've seen some of the followers saying the show is not going. I've seen the show is going.
Mm.
The fact that people are saying this is incredible, and when we are not there, backwater, it has been incredible. And let's, you know, see that next year we will take it from here and raise the bar.
Wishing you and me nothing but a successful 2025. Hopefully we'll both be employed in 2025.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll finally get into relationships in 2025.
I thought by December I'd be getting out.
At least a festive fling.
Hey, yeah.
Festive fling apart.
Even if they last for 3 weeks.
Festive flinging, so that, like, listen, when you go back to work in January,
yeah.
We go our own separate ways. Nothing,
bro. Maybe they will hear the call.
So if you're looking for festive flings,
<Yadala. laughs>
My brother, thank you so much. I love you. I respect you. You are part of the family. And I look forward to doing another year of this with you.
No, thanks a lot, man. Thanks to you. Thanks to the crew.
Yes, sir.
Trevor, Mekeleto, and everybody else.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you guys for being a part of Hashtag Politricks on Wow What a Week. It's been an incredible year. Please give us all of your feedback, but most importantly, share the links, like, subscribe, including you, the closet viewer. That is a highly placed political somebody that doesn't want other people to know that they're watching. It's okay. It's a free country. You need to remember that. So, I think watch with your chest next year. It's amazing when people stop you on the street and say they watch the show, blah, 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 but they will not subscribe or like.
Or comment.
Yeah. You are the people we need commenting because it's your people that we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's your people that are in the comments. So why don't you engage your people in the comments versus just watching there from the corner, like a DJ Shazamming in secret when another DJ is playing. Let's not do that. Hopefully, we will all do better in 2025. From the crew, have yourselves an incredible festive season. If you are a Christian or you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you. And if you're not, enjoy the time off, enjoy the holiday. And hopefully, we all have one thing in common. We want to spread love. We want to be good. We want to do good. And we want to be about the good of the nation and the world. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography. You guys have made us look damn good. The day myself and Botsan get remarried, we are going to call you guys to make the after movies. Also, shout out to Otis the Flo Fraser for all of our imaging. And finally, our mother, Keletso Modisa King. She is our executive producer. I almost spilled the beans, but I can't spill the beans in case she hasn't told people what I almost said. Can I tell people? Are we allowed to tell people?
You'll get it.
Yes, no. Okay. So after doing this with us for a year and a half, decided I can handle these two, so maybe let me have a baby.
Yeah. So there's a bun in the oven.
So remove practice. Like if I can handle these two grown babies, then I can have my own baby. So congratulations, Kenneth will be going on maternity leave. And wish you all the best, man. We love you. We appreciate you. An incredible woman. You're always shouting at us, but it's okay. It's okay. At least your child will know you've been practicing. Guys, we're out of here. Have yourselves an incredible 2025. Thank you for the support. Until next year, have a wow rest of 2024.